Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mine's got like off-road capabilities because I have like a kind of like a faux marble.
Just in case you need him to vacuum the lawn.
No, it's fucking wild. Like,
I picture the top of the Roomba. It looks like the top of a Jeep. It doesn't have doors on it.
It's like a dune buggy. In brightest day, in blackest night, no lore shall escape my boys. I am your Manchurian candidate, Peter O'Donoghue, and I've been activated to assassinate another meme on our Discord. And joining me are my Soviet handlers.
Ethan, I'm one of the boys from which lore won't escape, because I'm the one that works during the day.
And I'm well, James. I work at night, so I need a lantern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So we don't know anything about this subject going into it. So
I work during the day, so I don't need a lantern.
There we go. The Coleman thing. Like, today's request for the cosmic history of the Green Lantern. The Green Lantern Lantern Corps comes from longtime patron, longer time supporter, and full time peppermint enthusiast, Darnell. Daniel. And probably at this point backed up by every single person on the server. So this has been
backed up by peppermint too.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to risk waiting literal fucking years for us to cover something that you love, you can join our Discord or email us, all of which is linked below.
Hey, but we got to it, didn't we?
Yeah, sure, we did.
It's a little late.
Yeah.
We're just lucky that our profs don't do that thing where it's like every day they knock 10% off, you know? They're just as long as you turn it in before the term, then you still get your points, so.
Yeah. What's 10%? You can't knock off 600%.
Exactly.
Yeah, we owe. We're in debt on this one, guys.
Wow.
And also welcome to shiny new patron, either Joel or Joel Sabalos. So thank you for your support. And if you're in the Discord, let us know and say hi. Unless you already have and I missed it. I'm sorry.
Joel Biden.
Joel, wake up. What do you guys know? What do you guys know about the Green Lanterns or the Lantern Corps? I guess I'll start with you, Jamie. Since you work at night, you must be more familiar with it.
So like that, I'm probably gonna get this really wrong, but I'm gonna be very educated by the end of the episode. So don't take me at me now. Take me at me later. But I remember there's multiple colors. So the Green Lantern has a certain power to it, but there's like a Blue Lantern and a Red Lantern and other lanterns that have other powers.
Yeah. That's what we're going to be covering mostly. That's called the Emotional Electromagnetic Spectrum, or EES. That's like the bulk of this episode is about the
yellow is fear, because you're yellow belly. Green is will.
Yep.
You can will things into existence, I'm
like
guessing.
Like an ogre, which are green.
Sure. Shrek was pretty willful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I admit.
Shrek from the Lantern Corps.
This lantern has layers.
Yeah.
Ogres are like lanterns. They have layers.
What else, Jamie? You're on a roll.
Red is angry or fast.
Yep.
Or fast. Red is also very fast.
Yeah.
Blue's just like mellow, dude. Blue's just like, we're chill.
I think there's something to do with space travel too. Like, it's not all on Earth, right? Like, they're going from planet to planet.
There's like aliens that are lanterns, right?
Yeah. There seems to be. I didn't look at a lot of the like wacky stuff from the '60s. I know like the Green Lantern from the 60s was like weak to yellow because the fear is like Parallax is the fear monster.
Fear
like,
is the mind killer.
Mm-hmm. Fear is the mind killer, exactly. Mm-hmm. But he's also one of his weaknesses is like wood for some fucking reason. So he can will anything into existence and create like hard light constructs using the power of his ring to like make swords and guns and like giant giant goofy fists and whatnot to fight crime, but he's like weak to wood.
Man has never learned to exert his will over wood before.
It's like the Simpsons, like when they chase off the aliens with like a board with a nail in it.
Yeah.
It's like how they save the world. Yeah, so I myself did not read comics growing up and still don't. That's why I've done 3 comic episodes now, I think. But they come pretty infrequently because I'm very intimidated by like the 80 years of history. Like, I just don't know where to start. So Darnell did actually, normally we do secret episodes, but I did ask Darnell an open call to just be like, yo, just like knock down the first domino for me, please. Cause I have no fucking idea what I'm looking at.
There was some sassy talk going on about comics. I think Batman between Darnell and Gajerk or something in our Discord. Like, Darnell would be like, please let me finish typing my point before responding, kind of thing. Like, they were getting really into the history and like
fandom's heating up.
Yeah.
But but the other ones that he's asked for, Spider-Man 2099, I liked, and Doom Patrol, I liked a lot. I remember the Doom Patrol episode being very wacky because they're a very strange collection of superheroes.
Yeah, Orgasmo and Rich Guy and
correct. Yeah.
What color? Oh, I answered my own question. Don't worry about it. I was gonna say what color would the orgasm emotion be in Lantern Rings, but it's white. We figured that out.
Yeah, it's white is life as well, so that's not even.
It's not far off.
There are white lantern. There are white lanterns, and they have like they represent like the life force. But again, like we're gonna get into the whole light spectrum here and cover everything.
And Parallax sends like antidepressants to them, or. Too much whiskey late at night, or
exactly.
Other things.
Parallax is the cosmic entity that kills boners, and that's why the Lantern Corps. That's why the Lanterns, Green Lantern's weak to wood.
So you know what? Then a beaver would be a pretty good challenger to the Green Lantern, I think.
A beaver would be an excellent Yellow Lantern, I think, like working for Sinestro and the other evil lanterns.
What does a beaver fear other than running water?
Because they have... they do fear running water, that's true.
Yeah.
On like a very primal level. So you're saying the Green Lanterns fear wood. They're the ones that can't work with wood, right?
And I'm saying...
They're welders.
I would say the beaver would be a great Green Lantern. Because that's like they're covering their one weakness.
Oh, you're saying
I don't need the ring for this, baby. Just choose right through it.
But you're not letting a scorpion be a scorpion. You know, you're just taking the best of both worlds and putting them together. I feel like a beaver wouldn't be able.
Scorpion's already the best of both worlds of a snake with the stinging tail and a crab with the pinchy claws. It's already the best of both worlds.
That's true. You know what? I can't fight that.
It's a snake and a crab. That's funny. There was like a Transformer in Beast Wars called Quickstrike who was a scorpion with a snake tail. When they introduced the half and half animals, I remember he was like an old timey Western cowboy.
The Greek Chimera has the scorpion tail, but it's a snake, right?
It's got a snake tail and then a goat head in the middle. I think there's other versions of it too. That's like maybe there's a different monster that has the scorpion tail, like a manticore. Maybe somebody pull up the clip. I feel like that's a different. Different animal entirely.
We've talked about donkeys a lot in the bonus content, and a horse and a donkey make a mule. So a snake and a crab makes a scorpion?
It's very, very strong. Scorpions are excellent pack animals, but they're sterile. So that's...
Yeah, exactly.
Just like a mule.
Have you ever seen snakes mate? It's like pretty wild.
Yeah, it's weird.
Wrap all around each other and stuff.
Well, I mean, it is kind of like a hug, and they don't have fucking limbs.
It does look like a great hug if you're like just a tube animal getting all wrapped up with another...
A 360 hug, baby.
Yeah.
So the Green Lanterns were the first of several galactic and multiversal organizations to draw their powers from something that I mentioned earlier, the emotional electromagnetic spectrum, which I'm going to call EES because clearly I cannot say it.
East.
East. This spectrum is an energy field that is powered by the emotions of every living thing in the universe. Now, there are all a bunch of universes. I think a lot of this stuff I looked into came from like the kind of reboot of the of DC Comics called the New 52, because there's like a bunch of different numbered Earths and different planets and shit and timelines, which we'll touch on. I didn't get into the whole New 52, like just Lantern specific stuff here. The colors that represent the spectrum are a who's who of Roy G. Biv, as well as black, white, and ultraviolet. These stem from beings created at the beginning of the universe by the white light of creation. So that is the, those are the white lanterns. They get their power from that.
I knew Iluvatar, Anu, whoever, you know.
Exactly. and so the creatures that all branched out when they kind of came out of the light spectrum, they now like represent their color and associated emotion. Normally I would send you guys pictures, but I want to kind of bang out the entities pretty quickly here, and there's obviously a lot of them.
Sure.
What I'm hearing is Pete wanted to go to the bar with me on Saturday instead of taking the time to get all the pictures ready.
Yeah, but I didn't download seven JPEGs so I could start drinking faster. Exactly. So red is represented by a demonic bull called the Butcher. Orange is for avarice and has a giant snake called the Ophidian that gives very good hugs. Yellow is fear, represented by the parasite monster Parallax. He's kind of looks like a bug in some of the newer representations. I know I looked it up on YouTube in the Ryan Reynolds movie. He is just a very bad CG cloud with like a bunch of kind of like swirling grumpy faces in it. It's very stupid. But if you look him up in from some of the comics, the artwork is very cool. Green is willpower, represented by Ion, who takes a form of like kind of a whale sea animal thing. Which seems like a weird one for Will. I was kind of expecting an owl, I guess, for some reason.
It was just a mistranslation. Will, whale, like it just sounded enough that they got butchered together. like a snake and a crab meeting, you know?
Yeah, and just having a rocking old time.
Yeah, yeah.
In this snake, like, crab relationship, which one would have to be the mother? Because, like, you know when you have, like, different dog breeds, like, you can't have the Chihuahua be the mother of a Great Dane Chihuahua mix or whatever, because it would just, the baby would grow too big. Does the crab give birth?
The size difference between, like, I don't really know how big a scorpion gets. There are some big fucking scorpions and some fairly small snakes. I think it would just depend on which two.
The crab and the snake, excuse me.
Yeah.
I'd want the crab to be the mother, because imagine a scorpion coming out of a snake. A snake looks all fleshy and stuff, and there's so many pokey parts on a scorpion. I feel like a crab's got armored uterus or whatever.
Okay. You know, well, maybe they're like
that's
the
a great band name.
Maybe armored uterus. Maybe they're like, it's like the new Pussy Riot or whatever.
Like all female, like kind of like grar, like all female, like costume death metal.
What if they're like, what if they need to be able to stab through the uterus to like break out? What if they're like some species of bugs, which like will
snakes
like
lay eggs. Of
the mother?
So do crabs. They both lay eggs.
Crabs lay eggs.
Well, I don't think they give live birth.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a pregnant crab? Like, they don't like a big belly.
Yeah, up here in Canada, I haven't seen a lot of crabs, I'm being honest.
They hold eggs against their chest because they have a tail and it's curled around in the bottom, as far as I know. And it like holds eggs, they like carry them around like kind of like a pointy kangaroo, basically. Like they hold it underneath.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just I pulled up an image. It's just like looks like mold. Looks like
it's gross. I hate the way it looks. I've seen it before in like documentaries. I don't like the crab eggs.
It's like Cheetos dust on their stomach.
Oh,
which is little crab egg.
He's got orange cauliflower butt.
It's like Cheetos dust. You got like you're playing Xbox with the crab. You like hand him the controller. He's like, "Oh, you want to wipe that off, dude?" He's got like dusty Doritos claws.
Sorry, it's moving season.
Where were we here? All right, so next color, so after the green whale, blue is for hope, and it was my personal favorite entity just design wise it's called Adara, and it's like a gigantic bird, but it's got one head and three faces. So if you guys remember the description or the picture I drew of Satan from Dante's Inferno, the singular head and like the three fused faces, it's very much what that thing looks like. It's quite cool.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Speaking of religion, bless you.
I tried to get the mute there. It could come fast enough.
And Ethan tried to get down Mr. President on the keyboard.
I tried.
The next one.
About your damn sexy three-headed bird.
Adara?
Mm-hmm.
Makes a better Dara than a Winda.
Out of the way.
It is a really cool design on this one.
A lot of them are very, a lot of the entities are very cool overall. Indigo is for compassion. Compassion's entity, for some reason, is this gigantic, like, three-tentacled squid thing called the Proselyte. Don't know why. Like, I don't know if mollusks are, like, well-known for their compassion. We're talking about a lot of animals today, but just you've got, like, the, mm-hmm. you know, how to make a scorpion, are octopus compassionate, sort of.
Do octopus love?
I didn't watch my octopus teacher. I know they can get degrees, if Netflix is to be believed. Didn't watch mm-hmm. it. But I don't know how compassionate they would be.
Part of intelligence. They're known to be intelligent, right? And emotional intelligence is a part of intelligence.
Okay, yeah. Are they street smart or book smart?
I would assume they're water smart.
That does make sense.
Street smart.
No streets in the ocean.
Yeah.
The Romans never made it to the bottom of the sea.
I mean, some of their cities kind of did collapse into the ocean.
Roads included. So consider me wrong.
Yeah, there we go.
It's actually the whole why they couldn't expand to the sea is they ingested so much lead that they would sink to the bottom anytime they tried to work there.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that's what the fall of the Romans happened, right? I'm pretty sure it was
lead poisoning.
Yeah,
lead poisoning. Yeah. Lead poisoning on a
also
on
known
a
as drowning. Yeah,
societal scale.
Yeah.
So Violet's love entity is a weird one. Love is represented by something called the Predator. And it looks like a, the kind of like default Zerg. It's like a bone dragon, basically. So it's got like a shell and a lot of spikes, and it's like a very draconic looking alien monster. There seems to be a lot about the love entity, so I'm not going to get into it now. Like, a lot of this is just like, obviously you could do an entire podcast just talking about Lantern Corps shit and probably have years of content.
We'll
get to that in 2045.
Can I just jump in and say that Predator lore was literally requested today, so we're calling this a 2-in-1. There you go.
Oh,
there's your Predator lore. Yeah.
Good, we did it.
I'm covered in mud, so Ethan and Peter can't pick up on my signals. And we're ready.
Where is he?
Who's
saying
that? I'm standing shin deep in water and my cloaking device is shorting out because I've got like shitty technology.
Yeah. I got shot on a log after trying to challenge Jamie to it, or trying to challenge Peter to an honorable duel.
Yeah. So the Predator is apparently love with nothing to hold it back. So it really kind of embodies both love, but also obsession and kind of stalking and whatnot. It has the ability
like seeing a kitty and then wanting to love it so much that you just like squish it.
Oh, yeah. Petting rabbits, George.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The love entity is a 6'2" disabled man from the Californian Dust Bowl. Don't really know what this one's a reference to.
It's the girlfriend meme with the big eyes. It's a very ancient meme at this point.
What?
The jealous girlfriend, whatever the fuck.
Oh, her. Yeah.
Emotionally. Overly attached girlfriend,
something like that. Yeah.
What meme fossil can we?
It's an old
this fucking internet cave painting Jamie's talking about.
Yeah.
So we're saying, which color are we saying Lenny Small is? He's red. Love.
Indigo.
Indigo. Love.
Oh, excuse me. Violet is love.
Violet love.
Ultra.
Because he loved the rabbit too much.
Yeah. Exactly. Violet love is Lenny. Exactly.
Cool. All right, so they all work. Like, there's all, like, I'm guessing all of the colors have, like, a good and bad. Like, I would assume Will is also, like, stubbornness. Hope is also, blind hope or whatever, you know? Yeah, blissful
they
ignorance kind of thing. Yeah.
That's possible. I didn't get into the entities because I didn't want to just get stuck on these, like, kind of cosmic representations. But, like, again, that I would say probably.
Yeah.
There's white, definitely like
white is life and cum, you know, the opposite in some senses. Yeah, so
the good of the evil.
Yeah, the emotion cum and the emotion life. So
yes.
So
thanks for the sign off, James.
Oh man.
The Love Predator has like a big arc with the females of an alien species we're going to talk about a lot, and it like also is linked to a magic rock, take a drink, called the Star Sapphire, which had like a big storyline in the 60s, which again we're not going to cover, but it the Love One is, along with like Death, Life, and Parallax, the Love One seems to have a lot going on with it because of the obsession and whatnot.
Yeah, because of the power of love.
Yeah. Somebody just pull up the riff right now.
It's in my head.
Yeah, me too.
I was in the listener's head as well.
So black represents death. The death entity is called Necron, and he actually looks like Eddie, the mascot for Iron Maiden, and otherwise just like a very normal looking Grim Reaper guy. His scythe, though, where the blade is attached to the staff or to the handle, is a Black Lantern, which is pretty cool. So they that's the thing that he carries around. He seems to be a lot more.
A lantern, I thought we weren't going to need those. And Jamie was the night guy.
He's got the. It's like hanging off the front of his raft, basically. It's very like kind of like a carrot from the River Styx thing. He's cool looking. The death and life are different than the other entities as well. Like death, Necron is like straight up just a character who interacts with the Lantern Corps over the course of several stories, and the life thing is kind of more bizarre and abstract. That's the next one we're going to talk about here. White is the life energy, and it is the white light that created the entire universe. The life entity has no name. It's just the life entity, and it looks like some kind of like alien fetus, like kind of like a human alien fetus, kind of cradled in angel wings inside of like a cocoon of spider's silk, like at the center of the universe. Again, very neat design, very bizarre. Yeah.
All right.
Where are we here? For 700 years after the dawn of the universe was nothing but blinding white light until the light was broken up into the color spectrum. So it was the first, basically. its source was the white light of creation.
When a giant prism just somehow entered the universe and
it
turned all the white light into the colors and cool dark side.
Ultraviolet, or the invisible spectrum, is the opposite of the EES. However, both are part of the seven forces of the universe. These are primordial energies coming from beyond the source wall, which is this gigantic wall of dead frozen gods that like holds the multiverse together. It's like all encapsulated in this wall of gigantic alien bodies and like god bodies. It's fucking awesome. I wanted to look into that one as well, but again, it just got like too long and a little off track. There's a lot of crazy universe building. I mean, obviously, it's just like it's as if I've woken up from a coma and found out what a comic book was yesterday.
It's a flat universe. We can say it for sure because it's got borders on the outside.
It's got the source wall around it.
Build that source wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real life electromagnetic spectrum has been studied since ancient Greece. However, the first person to coin the term spectrum was Sir Isaac Newton. And this was starting in 1666. Newton showed that these colors were intrinsic to light and could be recombined into white light.
We just talked about him.
The prism thing. Yeah.
Talked about him last week. Crazy.
Yeah. As if he was like super, like a super important person for a scientific discovery.
And his biggest rival in scientific discovery, Leibniz, went to the unicorn cave that we talk about on the Patreon bonus episode. So, I mean, who do we really like here, you know?
I love 17th century science.
Yep.
The EES, on the other hand, was thought to be discovered by the Malthusians, the oldest intelligent life in the universe. They would eventually go on to form the Guardians of the Universe, kind of like a peacekeeping agency that would lead to the Green Lantern Corps. They have an almost Mormon-esque, like, lost colony in one of, like, the many multiversal Earths as well, and they're just called leprechauns, and I thought this was, like, a slang term given to them, but if you want to open the first spoiler image...
Oh, there he's straight up a leprechaun.
He's just a big leprechaun talking to the Flash.
And then there's another one who's trying to give the Flash some bruises on his arm.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't even notice that.
That leprechaun's got a big grunt.
Cloud?
Yeah.
That's true, eh?
Sorry, just to go back to the Malthusians, because it sounded familiar to me, and I looked it up really quick. Malthusianism.
Malthusian. It's Malthusian. There's no TH.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, we'll call it close enough, I think, because Thomas Malthus, who came up with this idea of Malthusianism, which is the idea that population growth can is exponential while food growth is linear. So like the first roots of overpopulation is a potential like danger to life on Earth, right? So just this idea that these original people, you know, one of these progenitor races has come to take on the role of steward of the universe and is so seemingly sort of named after this idea that like, oh, you know, we do have to control the population in some regard. I'm just going to put it out there. Then I'm curious to see if it would ever come back to that.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good trivia, regardless. Good, it's a nice little tidbit there to chew on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what they're putting extra marshmallows in the Lucky Charms to kill off people sooner.
That's why they're trying to kidnap the Flash in this photo. He's showing up to take marshmallows out of Lucky Charms. He's using the thieves' force.
Yeah, this is Flash finding out that the marshmallows in Lucky Charms are made out of crab eggs.
He's using the speed force to go backwards in time and stop the leprechauns.
Oh, man. I want some flaming hot crab legs. Those would be good. Or crab eggs.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, ew, you got to pick out all the cereal. It's like, no, I just want imitation crab marshmallows in my cereal.
Oops, all crab marshmallows.
Oops, all crab.
I don't mind imitation crab. I actually kind of like the taste.
I do like it, yeah. Yeah. I don't even understand. It's a weird thing to need to do is to like flavor one sea animal like another one. It's a lot easier to like get a million fish to make whatever 500,000 imitation crab sticks opposed to cracking open a million crabs to get the same amount of meat. Like, I don't know.
They have armor.
What does Talbot have to say about that? Is crab meat linear or is it?
They have to say that the demand for crab meat due to population growth is exponential.
Oh, okay.
Crab meat is linear. So
I've seen the crab meat. Stick. I've seen them. They are linear. I can confirm. There's little lines.
How do they make the image? Do they just take like a bunch of fish and they have like the it all being ground under where they're making like the real crab meat for the rich people, and they just let all the juices like drip down, like all those spare juices drip down onto the fish?
It's got to be the hot dog of meat. It's got to be the hot dog of fish products, where they just take all the excess from all the other fish and press it together.
Oh yeah, the crab lips and assholes.
Crab lips.
No, that's the name of a band.
Yeah, they're opening for Iron Womb or whatever you said.
Armored Uterus?
Armored Uterus, that's it. they're opening for them. So while the Malthusians had some incredibly advanced technology, including time travel, it turns out it was not them who discovered the EES. A Malthusian scientist named Crona, obviously, introduced entropy to the universe by going back in time to witness its creation. We'll come back to this.
And this
caused the universe to be born old as a side effect. In another universe within the multiverse, a man named Volthoom and his mother, both scientists, actually discovered and harnessed the power of the EES. So the spectrum was discovered in another universe that was created by accident by a Malthusian named Crona.
Wow. Okay?
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm following.
Okay. So Volthoom and his mother managed to harness the power of the spectrum into the first lantern called the Travel Lantern. And since this one had every color, it could do basically anything. Real world
travel.
Doesn't
seem like, that doesn't seem like too much power, honestly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure this will in no way be the inciting incident to the rest of the episode, of course.
Yeah. It's just a mommy scientist and her son scientist just working hard at the lab late one night when they hear a knock at the door and they say, oh, who's that? It's the CIA.
Yeah.
I feel like a lamp like that would just not be as good at any of the given colors, but it's like, you know those weight sets where you can twist them to be different weights? Like, at the top of the lantern, you just twist it so, like, the panes change color or whatever. It's just white light in the middle.
I like to think it's like the, like, you remember the Scooby-Doo, like, slideshow things that you had as a kid where they're, like, little binoculars and they had, like, light?
Yeah, the viewfinder or whatever?
So it just has, like, a little clicker like that on the lantern. Yeah, just, like, nice. Changes the color of it.
Yeah. Or on the subject of cereal boxes, do you remember like the secret word finder on the back of a cereal box where you had like the red cardboard glasses that straight up gave you retinal damage so that you could like solve a puzzle while you were eating before getting on the bus?
Yeah.
Wait, the Green Lantern?
Only that's what I remember.
I just remember the Green Lantern's in The Great Gatsby. too, right?
Yeah, he's on the other side of the lake.
Yeah,
Gatsby stands on the dock and stares at him. Yeah,
yeah, to get his willpower to be rich and better than all of us.
Okay,
yeah.
So we've got the Violet Lantern in Of Mice and Men. We've got the Green Lantern in The Great Gatsby.
We need something from the Pearl and the Grapes. I mean the Indigo. Can we do like the Grapes of Wrath? Something from that, which I haven't read.
But you know, Gatsby wasn't written by John Steinbeck, right?
Oh fuck! Really? I put them in the I categorize them incorrectly on the same shelf in my head.
I mean, they go on the same shelf as classic American literature for sure.
Yeah, but, it's like the same class.
Depression era, Dust Bowl era American literature for sure.
Edit that out.
Stuff that we had to read in our generation in the high school level, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pete can't remember a book exactly that he read in 2005. Yeah. Where are we here? So the DC Comics Travel Lantern is the prototypical Lantern Corps lantern. If you guys have ever seen it, it's the kind of like the sphere in the middle with a handle on top and two cones, like a conical base and a conical top where the light shines out of the middle, basically.
Yeah.
In a lot of the images I saw, it was actually black for some reason, despite the fact that when all the colors are together, they make white, but whatever. Right, and because it contains all the powers of all the colors, it can do pretty much anything, like I said. For some reason, it was described as being able to go in three directions. The directions are time, distance, and other dimensions, but the other dimensions feels like a cop-out, where it's just like, it's three, but the third one is anything. It's like, the third one is like, I wish for infinite wishes, basically.
Maybe it's like they mean three at a time? It was like, it can travel through time and distance, and then also through whatever fourth dimension that is purported, right?
Yeah, this is the one. Unless it can't go distance, it's like you just travel to another universe standing exactly where you are in the current one, so you can't move. It's like it's like you leave your universe at 3:30 in your laboratory with your mom, and you end up in another laboratory with your mom in another universe,
yeah,
or something like that. Like,
well, because like distance too is also like, that's just like how far you travel along a dimension. That's not a dimension.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's three dimensions that we can knowingly travel along, right? Because we're third dimensional creatures, obviously. But
time, space, and crab eggs. What's the third one?
Time, space, and crab eggs, baby.
So Volthoom and his mother lived on Earth 15. I think there's 52 now. And the OG is Earth Prime, I believe, not Earth Zero, which will come up. Although I could be wrong about that.
There's like 52 numbered ones.
Yep.
Like the new 52, made... I think, are 52 universes, and there's like a numbered. There's 51 numbered Earths and Earth Prime, I believe.
Okay.
For those 52.
Yeah, 52 separate universes.
Yeah. Earth 15 is a lot like our own Earth, but it's way further in the future. So despite the fact these universes all being created at the same time, some of them are further in the future than others.
Oh, it's just like when we all record on our PCs separately, and then when you put the audio tracks together, they're different lengths somehow, even though we all live in the same world together.
Yeah.
It's a pain.
Recording at the same time.
Always record on one PC, ladies and gentlemen out there, or else you'll have a five-hour edit.
They had created the Travel Lantern as a means to escape Earth 15 and the Earth 15 universe to try and save the planet that was being invaded by Superboy Prime, who is a young and evil Superman from the Prime universe. Yeah,
cool.
Superboy.
Young and evil. Young and dumb and full of evil.
Yeah, he's just a country boy, young, dumb, and full of evil. So like any good parent in fiction, Volthoom's mother, whose name I could not find, sacrifices herself to ensure that he survives and escapes the universe. She gets crushed in the building that they're working in.
Sure.
Using the power of the Travel Lantern, Volthoom bumbled about the multiverse while trying to figure out what I assume were like the switches and knobs they'd installed on it or something. Like, he just couldn't control the power of it. So he ended up in a bunch of different universes. On some Earths, he used its power to help people grow plants. On some, he used it to invent rock and roll, which is only barely Lore Boys canon. Like, he did like bring music to a universe using the Travel Lantern at one point.
Literally was becoming Ainu Iluvatar.
Yeah, he's like he sang a different universe into existence. Eventually, he found himself at Earth Zero, 10 billion years in the past. Now, Earth Zero, like I was saying, I don't believe is the OG Earth. Earth Prime, I think, is. But again, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners.
Well, Earth Zero is made with aspartame instead of sugar.
Yeah, it's low-calorie Earth.
Yeah. It's aspartame instead of Splenda or whatever. No-calorie sweetener.
Like sweet and low?
Yeah, because Earth Diet was the original one, and then Earth Zero came after Earth Diet.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. The new 52 is just like, it's like new Coke. It's like, yeah, well, we hate this Earth, and they stop selling it.
And then Earth Prime's that good cane sugar in a glass bottle, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's your Mexican Coke that you love so much.
I love it up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Pete, I fact checked you real quick. Earth Zero, also known as Prime Earth, and New Earth. Apparently it's all the same place. According to the Multiversity Guidebook Number 1, as well as Earth Zero, published by DC Comic in 2014 and 2015, respectively.
Well, thank you. I apologize to anybody who was furiously typing out an email there, like on the bus. It's like, we got it. So from Earth Prime, he traveled to Maltus, homeworld of the Malthusians, and I like to think by following and never looking away from a leprechaun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the lantern's for. It can stay trained on a leprechaun, so it can never disappear.
It draws the leprechauns in. They keep throwing gold underneath them. He's like, oh, mind if I do.
Speaking
of, to find out more. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, wait. Lucky Charms. There's mushrooms in them. There's marshmallows in them, not mushrooms.
Can you imagine there was just a mushroom-shaped marshmallow in Lucky Charms? Just like, what's this one for?
A little toadstool would be fine, like with the stem and the red cap. That's kind of like a fairy tale thing, right?
We're gonna teach kids to eat red caps now, huh, Peter?
Yeah.
Is it
like horseshoes?
Is it only soda where they go for like the fake sugar zero calorie version? Can you get like that type of diet cereal where it's just awful for you but it tastes good? Like,
do you want Lucky Charms Zero now? Is that what you're asking?
That's what I'm asking for. Lucky Charms Zero.
I mean, it just goes to show you though that like, even these corporations that make children's cereal and get so much flack and have gotten so much flack and so much scrutiny for having like made all these children obese are like, oh, aspartame? No, we're not putting that shit in our highly industrialized, highly processed cereal. Like that shit's kind of wacky. I don't know if we'll put that in.
Yeah. We don't want to sully the name of Count Chocula.
Yeah, of course. The Chocula estate is very powerful. They have like lords that control the British Parliament. They have to approve the Prime Minister.
Military in their pocket in the form of Captain Crunch, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, maybe, yeah. Captain Crunch at the DOJ. So anyway, we're going to find out more about what Volthoom did on Earth Prime. Maybe he got his Lucky Charms Zero, his low-calorie breakfast sugar, after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. So these Malthusians that Volthoom had encountered were already fascinated by the EES, and now they had the travel lantern in front of them as a containment device filled with the power of every entity.
So the Malthusians created the travel lantern, right?
And no, then they Volthoom and his mother did.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. They made it on Earth 15 as a means to escape Superboy Prime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Different Malthusians did create it, but not these ones.
Yeah, I don't know if the Malthusians are like a singular point in the multiverse, if they're eternal, or if there's different versions of them on in every universe.
I mean, they can time travel, right? So at least there's that.
Yeah. And like these guys here on Earth Prime are 10 billion years in the past where he is now, because like I said, the universes are not parallel. They're all at different points, basically.
Going at different rates.
Exactly.
The leprechauns can only be found where all the colors meet at the end of the rainbow.
Exactly. Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get the cauldron full of white light of creation at the
end. That's right.
These Malthusians had encountered and failed to destroy Parallax, the fear entity, at one point. And they had the idea to just like, well, the way we defeat the fear monster is to never feel fear again. So they locked him away in some kind of magical box. And then they poured all of their emotions into the travel lantern, turning it into something called the Sacred Heart. The heart itself created the first power ring and like spit that out. So now there's like the ring with the power of all the entities. And the Malthusians placed the Sacred Heart within Volthoom's chest. And then he took the power ring and became the first lantern. So the other iconic thing about the lanterns is they all have a colored ring that is the source of their power, basically.
Yeah.
And the first one came from the Sacred Heart, which was the travel lantern.
Mm. Cool.
As far as I know, I had mentioned this earlier, the Malthusians who got rid of their emotions were all the males of the species, while the women of the race went off to hang with like specific entities throughout the multiverse. I had mentioned earlier that the love monster, Lenny, has like an entire arc involving the Sapphire Star. And that is where the female Malthusians ended up with, because they were just like, well, we can't get rid of our emotions. I think the line was just like, life without love is blasphemy. So the species split pretty much, and they each did their own thing. You got the men gave up their emotions, and the women traveled around the multiverse hanging out with
Boys went to Mars to get more chocolate bars. Mm-hmm. Girls went to Venus to get a penis. I'm following.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all heard it before.
Yeah, jeez. Come on.
So Volthoom is Volthoom is not the only DC hero to have had access to every color of the spectrum. Dory and Dryson, or Rainbow Girl, also had this power back in the 60s era comics. She was part of the hilariously named Legion of Substitute Heroes, alongside Antenna Boy, Chlorophyll Kid, Blue Raja, Double Header, Pyro Brainiac, Infectious Lass, Night Girl, Brick Frog, Porcupine Pete, and Stone Boy.
Porcupine Pete.
So keen-eared listeners,
I'm gonna look up Brick Frog real quick.
Keen-eared listeners will know that some of those silly names are from other properties, and I made one of those up.
Was it Brick Frog? No. Was it Porcupine Pete? No. Can you read them again?
Yeah, it's Antenna Boy, Chlorophyll Kid, Blue Raja, Double Header, Pyro Brainiac, Infectious Lass, Night Girl, Brick Frog, Porcupine Pete, and Stone Boy.
I'm gonna say Pyro Brainiac, or no, that might be too clever for you. Can I say Night Girl? No, the other one, the last, Infectious Lass.
Infectious Lass? Jay, that's you gotta guess.
That sounds like Infectious Laugh. Okay, I'm gonna say Night Girl. I'm locking in Night Girl.
Night Girl is my gut feeling too.
Okay, so Blue Raja is from Mystery Men. It's like it's Hank Azaria's character who throws forks at people.
Right.
Brick Frog is from the Venture Brothers. And I made up Pyro Brainiac.
I almost thought it was not too clever for you.
Brick Frog is a supervillain with no special powers, whose only villainous skills are brick throwing and frog being.
He is like a 2 second bit on an episode of the Venture Brothers, and he's just Brick Frog.
he wouldn't even be able to say Brick Frog because he's a frog.
That's his line. He's just like a guy in like a plush frog costume.
People also ask, do you lay bricks frog up or frog down? Bricks with frogs should generally be laid with the frog uppermost.
Okay. I can't believe that's a question people ask on the internet.
Laying of frogged bricks on wienerburger.co.uk. What is a frog and a brick? Well, you know what? There's a lot to look into for next time. Oh, it's just the hole like in the brick where the mortar fits in. It's supposed to go frog up, not frog down.
And then, I didn't know that.
I hate when things go frog up.
Yeah. Brick throwing frog being. I got the idea to make up some of these because I figured Porcupine Pete would throw you guys off. I can't even remember the stupid ones that I replaced with the three ones that are not DC superheroes, but yeah, they're all very, very goofy.
I will say, Venture Bros lore would actually be a fun.
Yeah, someday. I love that show. It's definitely something we.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I was watching clips from it today because again, I looked up. I love the audition for whatever the Evil League and that's where Rick Frog comes from. They've got. And like they have such good superheroes. Like one of the guys is Fat Chance, where he's just a big fat guy, and there's a question mark in his chest, and he just reaches into other dimensions and pulls out random stuff.
He's like that SCP who lays in bed and pulls out moist Cheetos from his underpants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Volthoom became a kind of one-man peacekeeper for the Malthusians. His access to the entirety of the EES gave him stupendous powers. Obviously, his ultimate goal was eventually to head back to Earth 15 and save his planet and mother from Superboy Prime. He simply needed help with harnessing the power of the Spectrum, so he had his own motives and was helping the Malthusians with this. His ability to warp and change reality inspired Krona, who I mentioned earlier, to conduct his time travel experiments. So he ended up, because of time travel, inspiring the time travel experiment that would then allow Krona to view the birth of the universe, basically.
Classic time travel.
Yeah.
Classic McFly having sex with his grandmother.
Yeah, he... Volthoom was sent to arrest the Peeping Tom, but in the end ended up sending the Peeping Tom forwards through time to witness the birth of the universe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm glad that Netflix has taken the Pornhub approach, and now I can finally restrict the amount of movies that show up on my feed that have incest in them.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's just Marty McFly with his grandmother. Okay, we're going to have to skip that one.
Jenna McFly caught in a dishwasher.
Yeah.
So like that Wars banner that goes past, it's like this video was downloaded from xvideos.com. the Chiron that goes across the entire fucking screen.
What marquee are you talking about? I've never seen anything like that. I don't know what you're talking about, Peter.
No
idea.
I just go to cooltits.org.
I like my porn on .gov sites. Thank you very much. You know they're trustworthy.
Yeah.
One of the other things that he created along with the multiverse was the antimatter universe, which is exactly like the regular universe, except opposite day is every day, except on opposite day.
What is it? Regular day on
it's not worth thinking about, Ethan. All these opposite day things end up being so garbage. They get so circular, and like, would you actually say this on the opposite day? How micro do you go with, like, do you say, I would like to go on a date with you? Is that's my real message? Do I say I would not like to go on a not date with you, or do I say I don't want to go on a date with you? What do I say?
Yeah. Fuck off. The antimatter universe, it was described on the wiki as just like it was just described as everything good is evil and everything evil is good. So it is straight up just like that's where you get like what's his name? The Reverse Flash, I guess it would be like, because he's the direct opposite of the Flash.
Or the Adams family, where they
he doesn't go to Hawaii to commit crimes, you know.
The opposite of the Flash would be the Dim, right?
Yeah.
The slow force or something? He has the power to run extremely slowly.
That's the whole thing with the Addams Family. They like the stuff that we don't like. Like they eat their Lucky Charms with their mushrooms in it or whatever, and they enjoy it. Yeah.
They pick out all the marshmallows. They pick out all the crab meat out of their Lucky Charms and throw those away, and just eat the pulverized cardboard like chunks that is the rest of that cereal.
Yeah exactly. Oops, all chalk is the bizarro world equivalent of the oops, all marshmallows.
I am not a big cereal fan. I never ate much cereal coming up. I was a toast kind of guy in the morning, but
yeah, I prefer toast. But I love my oatmeal squares, dude. The Quaker oatmeal squares, little pillows, delicious.
I like oatmeal.
I've ever bought a box of cereal in my life.
I like cereal. I tend to eat it at night. I tend to eat it as like a late night snack more than anything.
In the antimatter universe, Jamie would buy nothing but cereal, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I read on the Wikipedia that it stops you
in the morning.
Yeah. It was that weird guy who wanted kids to stop touching themselves. So I
The Kellogg.
Yeah, he could be his own episode, okay. But
for political reasons, Jamie doesn't eat cereal.
Yeah. I mean, I avoided buying Kellogg's for the last couple of years, but because of like the terrible workers' conditions and the fact that they were striking and everything, right?
Oh yeah, that's true. I heard about that.
Well, there was that, but then did you hear they what they said though?
They wanted to jerk off the assembly line, and the company wouldn't let them, so they went on strike for it.
You have to like clock in, you punch in, you put your chastity cage on, then you go off to the line.
It's
steel toe boots,
safety glasses, exactly. Yeah. Steel toe boots, chastity cage, off to work.
Yeah, it's like OSHA certified chastity cage.
Oh my OSHA cage.
So, apparently, having the purest form of every single emotion implanted within your body will drive you fucking crazy. So Volthoom started to go fucking crazy. He turned on the Malthusians and tried to kill them. Which is basically exactly what happened with their previous peacekeeping force, the robotic manhunters.
This is not a good thing to call your peacekeeping corps.
it really is like the quiet part loud, right? Like that, when you call your peacekeeping force that.
Yeah.
Prior to having the first lantern, the Malthusians had an army of robot cops who, due to being computers, did not recognize morality and only saw things based on legal or illegal. Yep. And eventually, obviously, the Manhunters came to the predictable conclusion to eliminate all crime, they would need to wipe out all organic life.
Sure.
Maybe plants.
Thanks, Boston Dynamics.
Yeah. they just kept seeing...
Your robot dog falling over sure was cute 8 years ago.
You knew, like, that video. That TikTok was a thing that, like, sealed our doom.
Do you hear that Amazon bought, like, Roomba now, too? So... They're going to have maps of our homes as well, too. That's cool.
Mine does not map. I mean, I don't have a Roomba, but mine does not map my home for that reason. When I was shopping for a new robot, I saw, like, some had an app that, like, will map out your house. And I was like, do not want my phone knowing. I mean, it probably has a vague idea. Don't want my phone knowing exactly where everything I own is. That creeps me out. Like,
but the good news about my robot is that he's a fucking idiot. So there's no way he's mapped this place out. He likes to get stuck under chairs. So I'm sure he thinks there's these random stretches that are like 3 kilometers long within my house because he's just stuck under his chair with his wheels. Yeah, he's like, and never detects that he's not moving. There's like a tiny little lip, a half inch lip right here, right next to my computer that he likes to get stuck on as well. And he'll just roll there until his battery dies.
Whoa. There's a lip down there.
It'll never turn around. It'll just be like, guess I gotta keep going.
Right. It's like those animals that like all get wrapped up in a net and just like choke themselves. It's just like so stupid it can't escape.
Exactly. Yeah.
You should save that lip for our imitated crab because we know it's made out of lips and assholes. So.
Yeah.
I was thinking you got to cut up your six-pack rings so that Roombas don't choke on them. You got like the Roomba that got like got the six-pack ring around its waist when it was young and it just like grew around it. You know, like that turtle that's got like, it's like hourglass shaped because it had something wrapped around it his entire life.
I feel like if I had a Roomba, he would look so tired. I don't know why I'm calling it a he. Ethan called his a he too. Is a Roomba a he?
Robot.
Mine Dobby. So.
Oh, okay.
I gendered my Roomba.
Yeah. I have not named mine. Mine's got like off-road capabilities because I have like a kind of like a faux marble.
Just in case you need him to vacuum the lawn.
No, it's fucking wild. Like,
I picture the top of the Roomba. It looks like the top of a Jeep. It doesn't have doors on it.
It's on a roll cage. It's like a dune buggy. But no, because I've got like a 1-inch like stone lip that goes into my washroom. And I remember it was like running one time, and then I like went into the washroom to do whatever, and then I hear it like, and it like managed to climb over the lip and got into the washroom. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ! I gotta keep the door. I keep the door closed to keep the cat and the vacuum out of there now. What is this reality? Where were we talking about? The robot vacuums that the Malthusians had made that wanted to vacuum up robot life on Earth.
After Volthoom got overwhelmed by the all the emotions within him.
Yeah, he was too emotional to be president.
Yeah.
So they decided they had to take his powers away. He tried to kill the Malthusians. And this, of course, was the second time their peacekeeping force had turned on them, because it's just like, yeah, we're the oldest sentient life in the universe, and all we do is just give way too much power to our institutions, and they turn on us. Like,
yeah.
For billions of years, we've been doing this.
Yeah, regulatory capture is, I believe, the term.
So Volthoom was eventually stopped by 7 proto-Green Lanterns, so kind of the setup for the Lantern Corps. And he's then trapped in the Earth Prime universe. He was then stripped of his badge and his gun. The Great Heart and his power ring were taken away, and then he was written out of history.
Good fuck.
Oh, that's a good way to make sure that this could never happen again, right?
When I was reading that, I was just like, oh, yeah, that's why this happened twice. Okay.
I do love you said proto-Green Lanterns, and I just picture like a green like paint swatch in like Unga Bunga like caveman clothes. It's just proto green. It's like very basic green, right?
With like the leopard print like one sleeve thing.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of like a club on its shoulder, it's got one of those like paint sticks, like paint sticks.
After this, the differently colored lantern corns were all implemented. Cores were all implemented. However, they went through some growing pains. There was the War of Light at one point. This was a war between every color on the spectrum, culminating in Blackest Night, which is another like popular enough comic run that I knew the title of.
Okay.
This is when Necron, the Death Entity, was unleashed into the universe along with his Black Lantern Corps. You guys can open up the second spoiler image, the second spoiler image for this episode.
The busy one.
It's a really cool splash page of a bunch of differently colored lanterns all fighting each other. I put this here because I wanted to point out that in the top left, there is just like some kind of large wading bird, like a heron or a stork, that is just also participating in this war.
So wide, too. Like, clearly, a little worried right now.
Yeah. And I love how it's not blocked out by anything. It is just completely out in the open. Just this big fucking
I like the bird. Top right, all the ultraviolet ladies doing a like hand holdy thing. That's cool.
And like mid lower left, there's like a wacky waving inflatable arm waving tube man made out of green jelly with a bunch of like skeleton bones in his torso.
Yeah, the lantern stuff is really cool because since it's like a universal police force, they can just make up a bunch of crazy monsters and just give them the outfit and give them their powers. I know one, I can't remember the Red Lantern's name, but I know who in the Injustice games made by the Mortal Kombat people, he has like his long range attack. He has like a blood spitting hovering cat named Dexstar, who is also a Red Lantern.
Cool.
Okay. Him and his Red Lantern. Him and his Red Lantern cat, whereas the Green Lanterns all have pet beavers. Already established.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Because it helps. It helps him defeat Wood. Yeah.
Okay, there's also just like a giant daisy, like right behind the stork.
Daisy, whatever. Daisy, give me your answer true.
Which Pete, of course, sends us the lowest res image possible.
I thought it was my eyes.
It might be Discord, but.
Brick frog. Thank you.
You can. It's a little bit better if you open original, but not great.
I did. I did. That's what I'm referring to.
It's the picture that was on the wiki page, man. Blame the DC fandom wiki.
I blame you. I blame you and only you, exclusively you.
That's all right.
You don't to the DC fandom today, okay? They've been through enough.
Stop it! Stop. So the War of Light is a
Prime and Earth Zero the same thing. Stop.
How was I supposed to know?
I mean, yeah, I looked it up on Wikipedia. I could be wrong now, and maybe you were right, and I've just made things worse. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Why don't you tell us on YouTube?
This is the kind of journalistic integrity. We get back to you. This is the kind of journalistic integrity that will ensure we never get assassinated by the CIA.
Oh yeah, of course. Every time we bring him up, I gotta say I'm not suicidal. Just so you guys know, I say it to these guys all the time. Hey Jamie, hey Ethan, not suicidal.
That's a test every morning.
He protests too much, I think. But
he protests too much.
Yeah.
So the War of Light is obviously like a gigantic topic for another day. I kind of read the spark notes of it, which was very cool. A lot of this lantern stuff was very neat. After the war, the Malthusians began to feel like the Green Lanterns, with all their emotions and free will, weren't the best candidates to be the cops in the galaxy. Apparently forgetting about the armory of killer robots they had built in the past, because I guess they don't document every time they fuck something up. They decided to weaken whatever kind of magical prison was keeping Volthoom at bay so that they could harvest his DNA and create an army of clones called the Third Army. How do you think this went?
Poorly.
It did.
They're not called the last
horribly awry.
True, yeah.
So, oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They weren't called... yeah. They... Never mind. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
Let's keep going.
All right. defying all logic, they decided to fight fire with fire and further weaken Volthoom's prison to harvest more of his power to try and stop his murderous clones that they had made. And this allowed him to escape. But thanks to the combined efforts of the multiple colors of Lantern, as well as Necron himself, Volthoom was weakened enough to be separated by the spectrum from the Green Lantern I'm most familiar with, or at least the name, Hal Jordan, famously portrayed by Ryan Reynolds. And then he was killed by the death entity, Necron. Okay?
Is there any of those movies that Ryan Reynolds is not in?
He's only in three. He's in Green Lantern and the two Deadpools.
Oh, and then Chris Pratt is the other guy.
Yeah.
Mario!
You gotta get one of those, Steven.
Afterwards, due to being immortal, because the Spectrum eventually did resurrect him in the Rebirth series, which I did not look into, Volthoom returned and manipulated a rejected Green Lantern applicant named Frank Leminski into stealing and using the Phantom Ring, which was created millions of years ago, and was an unstable power ring that changes constantly whenever the wearer has the slightest emotion. So you could get
cool.
So it's like inconvenienced.
You can harness your anger. You can harness your willpower. You can whatever you're feeling. It's a mood ring. It's a legit mood ring.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It has nothing to do with the temperature of your hand. It is straight up magical. Trust me. but yeah, and so Rebirth, again, with the newly resurrected Volthoom, is, like a lot of the stuff we were talking about, another gigantic arc. Basically. I think it's a lot newer. I think it started like 5-6 years ago. But that's going to be the first Lantern and the cosmic forces behind the emotional electromagnetic spectrum. So
neat.
It was a lot of fun to look up. I liked it a lot.
I thought cool. for a second that I didn't press play after the break because I opened the bonus content. It said we were still at 30 minutes and an hour. And I was like, does the universe really not want us to give this to Darnell? But no, it's still recording. It's still recording.
God. So I've been your host, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram or on the Discord linked below. You can find our merch linked below as well. Whatever you want. Say hello.
Yeah. Jamie, is there anything you wanted to plug?
No, just get in the Discord. Been playing WoW on the same server as a couple of people we haven't really played together. But more importantly, if you're active on the Discord, I'll name one of my cult members after you. And yeah. I'll let you know how it goes, whether you're a great follower, you do great things for the Cult of the Lore Boys, or
in the game Cult of the Lamb, which we talked about on the bonus content, not the main episode. So
yeah,
just
gonna, I was like, it's a sex. Contextualize it here, Jamie.
No. It's a sex doll.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you guys want to help us out, you guys can leave us a review. You guys can tell your friends about us. You guys can make sure that Jamie's checking on his pizza pockets before they burn. Or his Hot Pockets, his pizza pepperonis in the oven. And if you guys wanted to help the show like Jamie says, join the Discord. Great way to get in touch with us. If you guys wanted to request some lore, like that cool-ass wall at the edge of the universe made out of dead gods, which some people on the podcast might want to hear more of, you guys can head to the Discord. And we have a lore request channel there, so throw it in there.
He's making his own fucking requests that I can get to in 2 years. The source wall was fucking neat, though.
Yeah, sounds very cool. This was like a thanks, Darnell, for the recommendation. It was a very cool episode, a lot of cool world building for sure. And if you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/loreboys. We have 30 minutes of bonus content, which is currently sitting unsaved on Jamie's computer. we have the episode scripts. We have a fun game that we like to call Loser Titles, where we post all the crazy titles that didn't quite make the cut. Like, finally, Lore Boy's Ass is the first one I have written, which is actually from the bonus content. So
we might buy a donkey, guys. We might buy or you might even get one for free. We'll see. But
we're going to try to get a free donkey. And then if we can't get a free one, we're going to get a Lore Boy sponsored donkey. So if you want to hear all about that, make sure to check out Lore Boys Prime, patreon.com/theloreboys. Or Lore Boys Prime, just the good old fashioned way of getting in touch with us. JB already said it. We are starting a cult. We are recruiting some donkeys. There's all kind of stuff that we need. And of course, like any good cult, we need manufacturing. That's where we gotta get, you know, kids stitching wallets, putting together bracelets and things like that. And we're going to need you guys to help us with the cereal plant. So if you guys are interested in working in our cereal plant, do let us know. It's going to be unpaid, of course, because it's a cult. You will get the rejected chalk and concrete cereal bits. Obviously, no marshmallows for the workers.
You could be one of Jamie's sister wives.
Yeah, you could be a sister wife to Jamie.
And like in the game that I'm playing, if you do need to use the bathroom, just go straight on the floor, and I'll pick that up with my hands and use that for our crops for later as fertilizer.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that game?
So if you want to sign up for that, then just make sure to pledge yourself to the cult of the Lore Boys and bring a donkey when you come. And I think that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
I found it. Check this
out. I put in German unicorn because I thought that's what it was called, and I got you guys can just describe
it. I did unicorn fossil Germany, but it doesn't even have a torso.
It's really it's really just two dummy thick legs, you know, thick thighs, saving lives. Then it has what looks like a spine with like dorsal bones pointing down imitate ribs, but they're clearly not ribs. Ending in a what looks like a tiny foot.
It's kind of like a tripod.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.